This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, it's time for you to teach financial literacy to your children as soon as you get up to speed. We'll help you out with that. Plus, why can't a rich guy pay it forward? And how smart can computers get? An artificial intelligence expert might frighten you later this hour. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund joins us from the newsroom today.
And people are leaving jobs at the White House today. So who's the new guy heading the VA, and is he inheriting a beast? More on him coming up.
Today was made for Jay Capadonia.
Imagine your commute being less than a minute. I'm not talking about working at home, Phil. I have the possibly world-changing details later on.
Ooh, and here, with a flex and a smile, is Chris Martin.
There's a video that will be the first to get 2 billion views on YouTube, and I'm going to tell you which one coming up.
Man, a dollar for every one of those views, I could buy a basketball team.
Just about.
Yes. So, Jennifer, let's get started. White House today, resignations galore, huh?
That's right. Jay Carney, the press secretary, is stepping down, and VA Secretary Eric Shinseki, after weeks of pressure, finally resigns, turns over the reins of the VA to Sloan Gibson. He's a West Point grad who earned both airborne and ranger qualifications, served as an infantry officer in the U.S. Army, and most recently was president and CEO of the USO.
Oh, did he replace Bob Hope?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's what you think of when you think of the USO, Bob Hope, Marilyn Monroe entertaining the troops, right? Well, it's not an old-timey thing. I know I've been to the one at LAX. It's alive and well. This one at LAX has a 4,000-square-foot, basically Hollywood canteen. They got a snack bar, a TV lounge, thousands of Hollywood current and classic films, nap room, showers, patio, barbecue, all free for military personnel and their families. It's like the ultimate airport VIP lounge.
That's
so, yeah, the
LAX,
USO
really?
Is still around. Yeah, it's at LAX. You know where the theme restaurant is, the big, you
yeah,
know, by that
sure.
tower? It's in the middle area there on the, I think on the arrivals.
You just have to know it's there.
Portion.
Wow.
You have to know it's there. You got to be in the military. And there, I mean, it is a welcome wagon times 1,000, which is really nice for our troops coming home.
That sounds wonderful. And so California, as we all know, is in this huge drought, and we can learn a thing or two from Israel. Is that right?
Right. You'd think. Israel just had its driest winter on record, but they're not freaking out. They've got plenty of water.
What?
You know why?
Aren't they
work?
In the desert?
Yes. And they are having the most aggressive desalination program. It's turned Israel's piece of the desert into possibly the most well-hydrated country in the region.
Wow.
So by solving its water woes, they're creating possibilities of transforming the region in ways that were unthinkable just a few years ago because, you know, water is everything. So why can't we do that here in California, right?
Yeah, why not? You know,
you
if they're
think.
Worried about the sea level rising, why not take some of that sea level out of there?
Exactly, right?
You know,
and use
put it on our front lawn.
Right. Well, Santa Barbara tried about 20 years ago. I was there for all of that. It was kind of a debacle because once they got the desalination plant up and running, it poured.
Oh.
It poured rain and the drought was over. So, but there are renewed efforts for that now. But removing the salt from seawater is really energy intensive. Now, remember, Israel's in the Middle East, so that's not that hard, apparently. But in California and other regions dependent on hydropower.
Yeah.
It's like a chicken and the egg thing. Electricity prices go up during drought.
Somebody has to order a study.
Power. Right. And, oh, they have done it. So, yeah.
And cost it's millions tough. And millions
right?
and millions and, of taxpayer
and then,
dollars.
And then put a bunch of guys on a commission, a blue ribbon
right.
commission.
There you go.
And a white paper report.
Yes, exactly. And so about a $500 million later, we've got nothing.
Right. And no water still. But
yeah,
I mean, it is like a chicken and the egg thing because you need the hydropower. You need the water flowing to generate the power to make the water.
Yeah. Well, when you're at the water, you like to wear a bathing suit. And Jennifer Bjorklund, what is a monokini?
Well, you know that saying, it takes two. Apparently, it doesn't take two breasts.
What?
This is a family show.
Good at the beach. I'm telling you, this is a family story. Now, you can look at the pictures of a woman in a monokini. It only covers one breast because if you've had a mastectomy, You're missing one. You've got the scar. You don't want to have to stuff the fake side and make it look like you have two, right? So a group of breast cancer survivors and supporters are asking, after founding Monokini 2.0, do you really need two? It's a social art project centered on swimwear designed for women who've had a mastectomy.
Yeah,
their swimsuits are kind of like over-the-shoulder toga style, let you sort of leave your flat scar side out there. And the group is hoping to fund the project on a big scale through Kickstarter. That's going to launch at the end of the month, and you can check out the pictures of some of the designs on our Facebook page. Oh. It's all very family-friendly.
Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Go take a look.
That's right.
I will
check them out.
In a minute.
Check them out.
All right.
Jen, I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Because you went through the guys at the White House stepping down. You've got Israel has more water in the desert than anywhere else.
I know what you're going to say.
Bathing suits. Well, you didn't bring a dog story, but I have one for you.
Oh, good. I was going to say, I was hoping you would hold up my.
He's bailing you out.
I have a furry critter story. Yes, before I get to the world's greatest story ever, because it comes from me, there is a pooping puppy. On a U.S. Airlines flight from L.A. to Philly, had to make an emergency landing because the puppy pooped in the aisle. Not once, but twice. The smell was so bad.
That's not a big deal. Come on.
Well, the smell was so bad they had to make an emergency landing because so many of the other passengers were complaining. But here's kind of the cool thing. The owner asked for everybody to write down their address so we can send them a Starbucks gift card.
Oh, that is nice.
That's kind of cool, right?
Good owner.
That is nice.
Good girl.
So there's your furry story for the week.
That's a terrible one.
I like that.
All right,
you
ready to
just clean it up and spray it down and keep it on the flight?
No, the dog had intestinal problems or something.
Oh, okay. Well, now here's...
You ready for me to change the world?
The biggest story ever, Jay?
The biggest story ever. You're a Star Trek fan?
Oh, sure. Who isn't?
Scientists in the Netherlands have published a paper in the Journal of Science, which I guess makes it legit. They have found a way to successfully teleport information about 10 feet across the room.
Teleport?
Teleportation is now here. Here's the deal. They say the info that they're able to teleport across the room is small stuff, like an atom.
Oh, okay. But this is a start. Everything starts small, and then you get bigger, and eventually they'll start teleporting an apple.
Right. Well, experts say that humans are way too complex to be tested right now. It's very line of sight, so they can make one atom move 10 feet across the room without anything in the way, because if something hits it along the teleportation process, that atom gets destroyed, and they really don't want to do that with monkeys or
humans. Right, but they're just experimenting for now. But this is very encouraging. Perhaps in our lifetime, we might be able to teleport to work, you think?
Right. Well, actually, the same experts say that the technology could be used as a form of encryption for sensitive information. So you can encrypt it and then teleport it somewhere across the room. And then that way it's not stored on your hard drive or on your database or on your...
And every time somebody gets near it, you press the button and teleport it to another part of the room.
There you go. Bada bing.
It's like playing keep away.
So
is why we're not in charge of science.
Right. Yeah. There's an IQ level here that basically you can count on all fingers.
Now, talking about levels, one is about to be hit, Chris, and you have this story about a video for a song that we've all seen and heard way too many times, and I had no idea people were still looking at it.
Open Gangnam Style.
Oh, God.
Really?
You know, it's increased its viewing capacity a lot over the last few weeks because it's reaching the 2 billion views
status. Did you say 2 billion?
2 billion with a B in front of it.
Whoa.
Wow.
And over the last couple of weeks, people have been watching it. 3 and 4 million people a week have been watching it. It's that size Gangnam Style. It's an infectious tune with these spastic dance moves. But it hit the trifecta. It was a quality video. It's in that Korean pop music era K-pop that seems to be getting big.
Yep.
And it's on YouTube, which is so popular. You know, YouTube gets 6 billion hours of videos uploaded every month.
Yeah.
And YouTube is responding by saying, we're planning for a world where there's hundreds of thousands of videos with billions of views. And the fact that artists can make money from YouTube now, it just makes it the largest platform for exposure and marketing and distributing media on the planet.
Yeah.
It's a monster.
It
really
is spectacular. Wow. Yeah. 2 billion. Is that amazing? Wow. Well, let's hope it gets replaced by something of quality.
Oh, know, Phil.
The second one, by the way, is a Justin Bieber video that just barely passed a billion.
You know, that's a, you said there's 3 or 4 million people on YouTube a week watching this thing. That's a lot of bored people at work.
Yeah, and I feel like they're trying to push it across the finish line just for, you know.
But, you know, it's what happens with songs and with videos, and especially with songs that are catchy, people have it on YouTube and they play it like that's how they hear the song. So it's not like they're watching the video once and then never seeing it again. It's like they have it and they just keep playing
listen
it so
they
to can
it over
hear
and over
it.
Again.
And you know what, Jen?
Exactly.
Real quick, too. That it was great because in the article they mentioned that the younger generation, they look at YouTube as radio stations now. And they find out what's coming out faster than any other form of
media.
Yep,
that is correct.
It's
and
true.
It's the future.
It used to be
it's here
upon.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys, the hidden cash guy, you know who we're talking about? He says he's just trying to pay it forward by dropping envelopes with cash around the city, but people are getting a little out of hand here in L.A. Up next, we have words of caution from the LAPD on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. And we're talking about this guy who's been dropping envelopes with cash. He started up in Northern California in the Bay Area. Then he went to Oakland and then he started making his way down to Southern California. And we had Glendale, we had Old Town Pasadena, and he's just trying to pay it forward. That's what he says. No ulterior motive. He just wants to start a little movement where people who've made a lot of money give a little money back. And but then we're in Los Angeles, and somehow the whole kumbaya has turned into something else. Because
unfortunately,
because people just start, you know, getting out of hand.
Well, people are jerks, Phil.
Yeah, well, apparently they are. So let's get a little word of warning and caution and find out. You know, just understand the rules as it applies in a big city like this. And joining us live now is LAPD Sergeant Albert Gonzalez. Sergeant Gonzalez, thank you very much. People are going a little nuts over $100. What would you say to them?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
You know, you're right. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to keep common sense approach to these things and keep everything in perspective. You know, the message that we want to kind of relay to everybody is you know, your safety should not be compromised at the expense of a few hundred dollars like we're talking about. What we want the community to be aware of is, you know, don't be overdriving to these locations. Don't endanger yourself. Don't endanger, you know, possible pedestrians. You know, obey all laws. And more importantly, you know, don't get into any type of verbal disputes over things like this or even physical disputes for that matter. We're talking about a couple hundred dollars, and it's not something that you should endanger yourself or others
yeah.
for.
Have you had to take anybody in back to the station house?
No, not at all. But, you know, what we are doing proactively is we have social media units throughout the city that are monitoring it. And, you know, we're prepared to respond if you know, if the potential does exist for a mass influx of people, you know, to hit any particular location in the city. We obviously, nobody knows where the next location is going to be, but we're staying on top of it. And, you know, area commands and surrounding divisions throughout the city are well aware of it. So if the potential is there for a mass influx of people, then, you know, we have appropriate resources available to respond.
Sergeant Gonzalez, what about the hidden cash guy? Is he potentially crossing over the line, breaking any laws, if for some reason somebody gets hurt as part of this thing? Would you want to talk to him in the event that happened?
Well, you know, he's not breaking any laws per se. You know, he can't, you know.
But, you know, kind of like yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah, like inciting a riot of something.
You know, he's free to drop money wherever he wants to do it. But if his exercising of his freedom infringes on somebody else's, then it becomes an issue, right?
Right, correct. And in that situation, you know, we would deal with that on a case-by-case basis. But, you know, from what we've seen so far, it hasn't, you know, arose to anything like that. And, you know, it's all based on the people who are responding to these tweets and who are reacting to it. So I think we can control that a little bit more than, you know, this individual who's anonymous. We don't know who he is. So I think the message is more for the public just to be mindful of, you know, take a common sense approach to this and keep perspective in terms of, you know, what we're after.
Yeah, in the grand law enforcement scheme of things, this is an easy deal, right?
Right, right.
Okay, very good. Because we don't want to stretch the LAPD over something that's supposed to just be fun. And
yeah, they're kind of stretched enough.
Yeah, well, we sure appreciate you giving us those words of caution there, and we'll keep an eye on this in social media as well. Thank you, Sergeant Albert Gonzalez with the LAPD.
You're welcome.
All right. Hey, big day today in the Sterling camp. In fact, in just the last few moments, some things have been breaking. And Jay, you spent the better part of the morning on your other radio gig talking across the country about every little thing about Donald Sterling and about Shelley Sterling and about the Steve Ballmer purchase of the Clippers. And I just want to debrief you a little bit. But why don't we start with the latest breaking news now?
I got it right here. Hot off the presses. There's now a new report that Sterling's attorney says that Sterling is going to sue the NBA.
Donald Sterling.
Donald Sterling is going to sue the NBA.
For how much?
$1 billion.
Oh.
Wow. $1 billion. This comes after the reports that Shelley Sterling inked a deal with former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer to sell the Clippers for $2 billion.
But then his attorney, Donald's attorney, said that as co-owners of the trust, and the trust owns the Clippers,
right,
that Donald would have to approve this any sale. That, and the other thing was that he didn't say, at least that's what he says, he didn't say that his wife was given permission to sell the team, just permission to negotiate a deal, and that he would clear the sale, right?
Right, and the interesting thing is Donald Sterling is being touted as the owner of the Clippers. That's not true. You're absolutely right, Phil. It's the Sterling Family Trust, and they're the ones that own the Clippers, technically. 50% Donald, 50% Shelley. And in there's this clause. If something happens to Donald or Shelley, the other one gets to take over 100% of the shares,
yep,
and gets to do whatever they want with the team and negotiate as an owner.
Yeah.
So apparently, within that same clause, Shelley somehow had an expert, quote unquote expert, we don't know who this person is or where they're from, deem Donald mentally incapable of making a decision on this issue. So that
allowed... How many of us have made that leap already?
Right.
Yeah.
That
right.
allowed Shelley to step in and reportedly negotiate one-on-one with Ballmer for this $2 billion. And $2 billion is a stretch because the second highest bid was from David Geffen, the movie and music and real estate mogul here in L.A.,
yeah,
was $1.6 billion.
Which is still a ridiculous amount when you think about it. The team, the Clippers, only makes about a couple, $2, $3 million profit each year. And so buying a team for $2 billion it's not a smart business move. It's buying a trophy to put on your mantle, because otherwise you got to charge $1,500 for the cheap seats.
Well, yeah, or like the Wetzel's pretzels prices are going to go through the roof now.
Yeah, $60 for a pretzel.
But here's the thing. In Los Angeles, you're not really buying the Clippers. You're buying a fan base.
But you don't have a TV station. You don't own the arena.
With the rising stars and the young talent that they have on this team, the fact that they've gone to the playoffs the past couple years, the fact that Los Angeles Clippers are now becoming the basketball team here in L.A., surpassing the Lakers because they're in shambles, that's what you're banking on. You're banking on the fact that maybe the Clippers can now become the Showtime Clippers, like the primetime or the Showtime Lakers were back in the 80s.
Yeah, because the Lakers are about to walk into the dark ages for a while, I think,
in terms of
popularity. But I wonder, Ballmer is, we know he's a rich dude, but he's also a pretty influential guy. And it's called Staples Center.
Right.
He's got a lot of influence. I wonder if the naming rights might change.
It possibly. First off, Ballmer is worth over $20 billion just himself.
Yeah.
So that's what kind of paycheck you're making when you're the Microsoft CEO,
just letting
you know that.
Okay.
So he's got the money, the power, and the connections to basically make whatever merchandising deal that he wants. And he's a smart businessman.
Would you spend 10% of your wealth on anything?
Yes.
No.
No?
If I knew that there was going to be some sort of return like a sports franchise, absolutely.
Yeah, but there won't be a return. It's going
to
be.
There's not going to be a big enough return to justify that kind of investment.
It's going to be. He's going to be losing money on no matter what team he buys for $2 million. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe the Knicks because they have their own TV station. But,
right.
You know, and the arena, I think, the Madison Square Garden. I think it's
right.
All under the same ownership. But in this case, he's going to be losing money for 20, 40 years.
But you don't know that yet, and we don't know that yet. The guy's such a smart businessman. I'm sure there's some deal in the works. And if this is reportedly true, if the $2 million or $2 billion offer is true, he's done his homework already. He did his homework when this started happening months ago, when the racist remarks came out on TMZ and all that. All of these things, that's when he started circling the sharks.
These computer guys, you know, they're smart. And I think you're right. I bet he's watching that teleport story real closely because he's going to figure out how to teleport everybody's money right out of their wallets when they walk into that building, and he'll make a profit in the first year.
It'll be the teleport arena in Los Angeles.
And he'll use science to make it happen.
That's right.
Got to watch out for those guys. Hey, we have some science later on in the program. Artificial intelligence and our guest in the last quarter of this program will scare you. But coming up next, how much do your kids know about money and finances? Better question. Do you know enough to teach your kids something about money and finances? We have an expert standing by to give you some tips next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. Nice of you to tune in. Tell your friends that this is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. Safety in numbers, huh? I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is here in the newsroom as well. And we have Jay Campadonia and Chris Martin. Tomorrow in the city of Duarte, a big dose of financial reality will be portioned out at a special event. And we want to know all about it and learn something along the way. Joining us live is the manager of the Center for Financial Empowerment, Abigail Ulm. Hello, Abigail. How are you?
Hi, Phil and friends. I'm doing great.
Good. Thank you for including the friends. All right. We're going to get to the event in a minute, but first, state the problem for us when it comes to finances. I gather that most people are a little shaky when it comes to personal finance. Is that right?
Well, yes, of course. Most people admit that they can learn a little bit more about how to manage their money wisely, and especially youth. Our youth are not required to learn personal finance in high school. And so a lot of times they're graduating and going out into the big bad world and not really knowing how to properly manage their finances, and they can get into a lot of trouble with credit. And so we're trying to avoid that happening with them.
You know, they ought to learn in school, but I guess the challenge is finding a teacher that's qualified in every case, and that's not always easy to do.
Exactly.
So if we're not up to speed, we're not equipped to teach our children what they need to know. So, all right, help us out. How do we close that loop?
Well, sure. First of all, you really want to check with your local credit union, because your local credit union will have the resources to help you show your children how to manage money. But then there's also financial workshops and other resources that are provided by your credit union and by other, even the banks that are out there will provide those as well.
All right. And so there are some basic things that we need to teach kids to understand on the front side, like paying your bills, right? And not going a little nuts with the credit card. Is that correct?
Exactly. And even if something as simple as sitting down with your kids and showing them how you pay your bills and showing them the kind of income that you receive and what and how you have to make that stretch.
All right. Chris is the closest one in our studio here, closest to childhood, and still remembers his formative financial days. And
I believe that's called wet behind the ears.
Yes, so. Exactly. And Abigail, Chris has a question for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, Abigail, when I turned 18, I actually came into some money because of an accident I was in when I was younger. And my uncle, to help me understand proper financial management, he had me get a secure credit card where I actually put the money down that the credit card, the maximum value that the credit card would be worth, but it still counted towards my credit. Is that something you encourage?
Absolutely. That's really the best advice to start establishing credit. A lot of times people are told to get a department store credit card or something like that to be able to establish credit, but that's really not the best way. Your uncle steered you in the right direction.
Yeah, so you put your own money down and it backs the card. Now you get the credit card for the department store, and you go in there, and there's a sale, and you buy everything, and there's nothing left on your credit
card.
Just
come back with 500 handbags from Macy's.
Yeah, look at the financial lesson I learned today, Daddy. Hey,
Prada was on sale.
Yeah. Look how much money I saved. I only spent $250 on this shoe.
At 22% credit.
Yeah, the other shoe's on layaway. Yeah, that's right, 22. All right, so tell us about your event. It's happening tomorrow, right?
Exactly. It's at Dougherty High School, and it's hosted by SCE Federal Credit Union and the Center for Financial Empowerment. And we're going to be in the gymnasium, a big building, and students are going to show up and pretend that they're adults for a few hours.
It depends which adults, you know, because this could get them in trouble. But what kind of things are they going to do? I understand there's going to be like a TV simulation that you have planned.
It's a reality simulation in regards to finances. So they will. Much like the game of life, except it's not around a board. They will receive a profile that tells them what their occupation is and what their monthly income is, and they will have to move around the room and purchase all the things that they need to live.
Wow, oh, cool.
It's like real life Monopoly, only you're not trying to get a Monopoly. You're just trying to stay in good stead with your creditors. Are plenty of experts there to help out as well?
Yes, we have a lot of volunteers from the community as well as from the credit union. And hoping to show the kids in a fun and an interactive way exactly what it takes to live on their own so they're not bombarded with surprises when they get
May I just say never mind the kids? I could use some help.
Yeah, right.
Well, come on down.
You want to go and pose as 15-year-old kids, Phil?
Yeah, let's roll swap.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? What are some of the jobs they can draw? I'm curious as to who gets the short end of the stick.
Well, some of them are cooks. And some of them are mechanics and graphic designers and attorneys, and there's just a whole...
Are there any Microsoft CEOs?
No.
Right?
No, that's not reality.
Oh, okay. No, it's not. Yeah, because once you get into the billions of dollars, it's just funny money, isn't
right.
it?
Right, exactly.
All right, so how can people find out more about this and get over there?
Well, registration is not open anymore for this event, but we do have some more events coming up, so they can visit our website at scefcu.org.
SCE, like Southern California Edison.
Exactly.
And then SCU, as in something credit union.
Federal Credit Union.
Oh, FCE, Federal Credit Union.
.org. You can tell he's far from childhood because he can't hear very well anymore.
Except what'd you say, sonny? So, exactly. So,
let me write this down.
SCE as in Southern California Edison, FCU as in Federal Credit Union.org. All right, very good. You're doing a great job out there, and we appreciate you helping with the kids, but I think the adults perhaps are going to get a bigger lesson off of this. But the kids need to know what they're doing. Abigail Ulm with the Center for Financial Empowerment, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, how about that, huh? Do you feel empowered?
I went nuts with a credit card when I was 18. I was like Pizza Central. I'm sure a lot of kids do that, right? And I wish I would have had something like that to kind of help me realize that pepperoni is not worth my financial future.
No.
It's nice.
Yes.
You're still paying interest on that pizza you had when you were 18.
I know. I really am. I mean, you know, I got the pizza for $12 and it cost me $200.
Yeah. No, I know it. Well, there are lessons to be learned in life, and not only financial lessons, but sometimes relationship lessons. And people perform better in some cases when they're together with their loved one. And other times... Sometimes the relationship is holding them back. And Chris, you have a good example of this in professional sports, don't you?
Yeah, and it's hard to tell whether this relationship was holding this person back or not. But Rory McIlroy, former number one golfer in the world, he was having trouble with his game. And he was dating longtime girlfriend Carolyn Wozniacki, who is a professional tennis player.
Oh, yeah.
And recently they broke up. They broke up a couple of weeks ago. And it just so happened that right after that, Rory ends up going out and winning a very popular European tournament. And right after that, comes over here to the United States. He's playing in a tournament with these guys. Shoots a 63 yesterday, which is a ridiculous score. It's like 9 under. Well, he's cruising along today in his second round.
Wait, hold on. That's really good, right?
It's really good.
Okay, because I was like, ridiculous. I don't get it.
I have a theory about this.
I don't get the lingo.
Before you get to the payoff here, I have a theory about this, is that men, and I think it's a uniquely male thing, that men compete, it's a little like battle, for the spoils of battle. And part of that is, and you could look at Tiger Woods, you could look at any number of stars, star athletes. They get married, they get a big contract, and then they go soft, and they don't perform as well as they used to.
That's right.
And the whole, you know, men in search of conquest and women. It sounds as sexist and misogynist as it possibly can be, but I'm just saying, you know, from a classic psychological point of view, male versus female. Why do men compete and battle?
To win.
Exactly, and that includes winning the lady at the end of the thing. And so, he cut off his ties with Carolyn Wozniacki. Is that her name?
Yes, and then gets on a roll,
and then
just starts tearing it up.
And the ladies are waiting for him at the 19th hole.
Who knows who's waiting for him at the end of the 19th hole? But he's playing really well, which I think intellectually you go, oh, maybe this was a good decision. This is like karma telling me, okay, I made the right move. Well, around the 9th hole today, something must have happened. He might have received a text message or got an old thought in his head because he completely lost it. The wheels came off the car. He went double bogey, double bogey, double bogey, bogey, went seven over in like four holes, dropped all the way from first in the tournament all the way down to the mid-20s.
Totally texted him, and he got his hopes up.
I was just going to ask you, Jen, that's got to be what happened. She's like, oh, you know what? I miss you. Maybe we should reconsider things. And then all of a sudden, the club's going flying into the stands.
Oh, no.
Or shanking it.
Maybe it wasn't a great idea for her to hang on to the dog for a couple extra weeks, and so something happened.
Yeah.
And there's the text. Oh, no.
Oh, it's like a selfie with her and the puppy. We miss you.
All right. Let's move on. Thanks for that, Chris.
Yeah, way to go.
I'm sure your theory was a lot better than mine.
I think they're just young, and when you're
feedback
young, you're
at philhewlettandfriends.com is our email address. Hey, here's a question for you. Will artificial intelligence begin to blur the line between humans and machines? We'll explore that concept with an AI expert next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for joining us here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. And right now, whether you know it or not, there's an arms race in Silicon Valley to build the best artificial brains. Does that excite you or scare you? Let's either resolve your conflict or deepen it now with our next guest. Bill DeSmet is a developer of artificial intelligence technology, holds a master's degree in both computer science and government. He's the author of the Archon Sequence, a series of techno-thrillers, including the award-winning cult classic Singularity, and his latest is Dualism, and he joins us live now. How much of that did I mispronounce, Bill?
None of it, Phil.
Wow.
On target.
That's good, and I didn't even use artificial intelligence to make that happen. Now, we know computers can beat the best of our Jeopardy players, but how smart can computers get?
Well, there's certainly a program afoot to develop what's called artificial general intelligence, which its goal is to try to bring artificial intelligence up to the level of a human expert in every conceivable human field.
All right. Does that include decision making and, dare I say, emotion?
Emotion is probably the area that will get conquered last. But the thing of greatest interest and concern is that it includes designing computers, which is something that humans do. So you'd assume if you had an AI that was the equivalent of humans, it would be able to design computers too.
Oh, so all right. So this is where it steps over the line of potential danger, because if the computers can build computers, they could build armies and rise up against us.
Yeah, you basically just described Terminator, right?
Or Battlestar Galactica. Which one of us is the Cylon?
Right.
I want to know.
It is
I'm scared of that
scenario. If you recall from Terminator 2, Skynet took 25 days to go from being plugged in to becoming self-aware.
Right.
And that's the sort of acceleration we could be looking at.
Are we as a society ready for that?
I'd have to say no, but there are people who are working on it. There's an entire movement called Friendly AI, led by Eliezer Yudkowsky, trying to determine how you would lay down sort of a moral foundation for whatever intelligence we develop.
But when they fall into the hands of evil, everything changes, right?
Or when they elude our grasp altogether.
And that's possible if they have the ability to gain more knowledge, which is what we're able to do. I would imagine artificial intelligence would be able to do the same.
Exactly. One of the scenarios that people are concerned about is right now you've got flash traders on Wall Street, but machines could do it ever so much better with access to a great deal more information and the ability to execute trades much more quickly. An artificial general intelligence could wind up owning Wall Street.
Now, are we doing this because we can? Because it certainly seems perhaps as a race, it is perhaps not prudent for us to do this.
It's a competitive edge, and I would agree with you that it's probably not prudent. Stephen Hawking and Max Tegmark responded to the recent Johnny Depp movie Transcendence with an article where they said that it would that a true artificial intelligence would be the greatest achievement of human history. Unfortunately, it might also be the last.
Oh, how far along the path are we?
Well, if you take the movie Her as sort of a benchmark, is that familiar? Scarlett Johansson,
yes,
playing an artificially intelligent operating system. Ray Kurzweil, who's at Google now, pegs that at about 2029.
We'll still be around at that time, most of us, I think.
Yes, something to worry about, the Swift Treadle meteor strike.
Some would say just having Scarlett Johansson's voice, what's the point?
Oh, Phil. Wow.
But the movie made a compelling argument for that. Well, all right. So all of this fascinates and worries me at the same time, and I'm probably among the consensus of thinkers when it comes to this, right?
It certainly fascinates and worries me.
And where in your writing in Dualism, do you touch upon that conflict?
I do. I try to show how an optimistic view of AI's future and human future might evolve.
Hmm. It's available online at dualismthebook.com. And you have another book coming soon. I don't know how far along you are on it. It's called Triploidy. Is that how you pronounce it?
Triploidy, yeah.
What is that about?
Alien invasion.
Oh, great.
Of course it is.
They've come to get our artificial intelligence computers.
So I think most people just want a robot to run errands for them, go to the grocery store, fill up the gas tank.
Go to work. Make a living.
You know, fold the laundry. If you had to guess, like in your expert opinion, how soon do you think we are away from robots like that?
Well, you've already got iRobot manufacturing things like the Roomba that'll sweep your room for you.
Yeah, sure.
The Aquabot that'll clean your pool for you. In fact, an Aquabot is cleaning my pool as we speak.
Well, how about that? Now, how intelligent is it? Does it know to get out of the way when a duck jumps in the water?
It doesn't even know to get out of the water.
Right. Yeah.
But that's how you want your robot, trained.
Yes.
You've got one job.
And not real intelligent.
Right.
Well, Bill DeSmet, thank you very much. Amazing to speak with you, and we're just going to keep following. I guess there's no way we can get out of this train. We're standing at the station, and it's if we get on the tracks, we're going to get run over. I appreciate that. And again, dualismthebook.com. Go check out his book, and just amazing stuff. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Phil.
Brilliant. All right, so we have a story that's going to warm your heart here to end on, and Jay, you have it for us here, and this has to do with military kids, right?
It does. And military kids that have had a mom or a dad who have died overseas fighting to defend this country. I didn't know about this story. We're kind of on the heels of Memorial Day weekend, and that's all about remembering the fallen soldiers, where this mom is taking it to the extreme where I actually got choked up reading the story. What she's doing is she's taking fallen soldiers' uniforms and then turning them into stuffed teddy bears and then giving these teddy bears to the children who have lost a mom or a dad.
Wow.
I know, right, Jen? That's
yeah,
what I did.
That's so sweet.
And it's something that's more tangible than like a photograph, because a lot of times you'll see like a fallen hero's photograph on a mantle with the flag next to it, but it's like encased and you can't touch it. And mom or dad says, leave that alone. That's a shrine. And this right. gives them something to hold on to, something to hug, something to talk to, a friend. And this mom is really going to extremes with this, and I could not applaud her efforts more.
And how is she obtaining the uniform?
Well, she has a website, and if my tablet would work correctly,
oh,
I would be able
on.
To tell you.
Oh, Google it. Google yeah, it.
Yes. The Huffington Post actually has the I'll post it on our Facebook page.
Good.
Yeah,
has
post
the
it.
Article. And the uniform, the teddy bears have the name of the fallen soldier right on the right foot.
Oh, and you know when the kid gets that, it says it. You know, regardless of what it smells like, the material, it smells like dad or it smells like mom.
Absolutely,
right?
I mean,
you've got that right there, and I can imagine the tight hug when they go to bed.
Yeah.
With that teddy bear. Well,
good
thanks
story.
For that, Jay. That is a great story. Headed into the weekend here. Again, we do love your comments. We have an email address. It's feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're @AsWeSeeItShow. Facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Nick Wright, thanks for helping out with the phone calls in the control room. And our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monzen. For Jennifer Bjorklund in the newsroom, Jay Campadonia and Chris Martin here in the studio, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.